This is the San Diego Hotcast.
That's a hot one.
From the Padres Radio Network.
Shipley deals. Hunter hits one deep. Car rushed. Here he goes again. Lower deck, left field. Ball going, ball gone. Hunter Renfro, three home run day. Welcome back, kid. Good to see you. Fun to watch you.
Time for our Padre Radio podcast. I'm Chris. That's Rich. And folks, today was the day. The day we dare not think about, but it has happened. Yeah, it has finally happened. Look, we have to be patient. Rich tells me all the time, so I'll tell all you out there, you have to be patient as well. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Luis Urias, they're going to have to be patient because today was the day, Rich, that they sent them both back to minor league camp. Ugh, and they were both so exciting this spring.
You are so, so glass half empty today. Did you think they were going to make the club this year? Did you think, hey, Freddie Galvez, I know we brought you in here. Sorry, you're gonna get sent to AAA. Did you really think those two were going to start this season?
When Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a home run in his first spring game this year, I honestly was ready to go pack Freddie Galvez's bags. I'm sorry. I just was. And then Urias came up and started doing what he was doing. And I was ready to move Carlos Asuaje to third base. And I was ready to send Chase Headley packing. No, I knew this was going to be what ended up happening. But you have to be honest and say there wasn't a little tiny piece of you somewhere that said, wouldn't it be something if the Padres just threw at the National League a double play combination with a 20-year-old second baseman and a 19-year-old shortstop and said, hey, gang, deal with these two guys for the next 10 years.
Henry Roland Gardner has a better chance of starting opening day than these two. Henry, you know who Henry Roland Gardner is?
I have no idea. Organist?
The Rookie of the Year. Did you ever see the movie Rookie of the Year where the 8-year-old?
All right, okay. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
So here's the deal. You have to be patient. Padre fans, I'm sorry that you're not patient. I'm not patient. Chris definitely is not patient. What's it like from the holidays or your birthday? Do you open your gifts before your birthday and then tape them back up? Is that what you do? That's you.
Okay, you don't know my wife that well, but you just nailed exactly what she does. My wife does it. My wife grew up with a brother and a sister. She used to go, check this one out. On Easter Sunday, she would wake up 2 hours earlier than her brother and sister, go downstairs, find where all the Easter eggs were hidden, come back up to go to sleep. Then when they woke the kids up for Easter egg hunt, she'd just come downstairs and get all the eggs. That's the woman I married. So you see why I have no patience.
So that's how she found you. She scouted all the guys around San Diego. That's the one I want.
And I was buried under a tree somewhere, and she found it. Yeah, exactly.
No, but here's the deal. You have to be patient. You have to let these kids mature. And what does it mean by mature? Chris, you know this. You played college baseball. On any given day, you probably could have struck out a big leaguer. You throw the right pitch. He has a bad day. You're going to win. You've got talent. You have the God-given talent to play. Now, the difference between you as a college player or the best high school player, my son was asking me this the other day, at Cathedral Catholic, there's a lot of kids that are going to get drafted this season. They're going to be one of the best baseball teams in the state. And he goes, what's really the difference between the best high school kid talent-wise in the big leagues? I said, they're just as talented as guys at the big leagues. They just don't have the consistency. You know that you have to have the consistency. There's two things that go into maturing up players, getting them to matriculate. Number one, they got to have the consistency. They got to repeat their mechanics and do it time after time after time. And the difference between someone who has talent and someone who gets to the big leagues is the consistency that they show on a daily basis, pitch to pitch and bat to bat, swing to swing. The other thing they have to do is they're going to be playing against the greatest collection of talent the good Lord has ever put in one league, and that's the American and the National League. And what's going to happen to them is they're going to struggle. They're going to scuffle. And people hate when I say this, but I want the minor leaguers to struggle because they're going to struggle in the big leagues. Everybody has a slump. The great Tony Gwynn probably had a day where he didn't get a hit sometime, right?
One time.
Everybody's going to struggle. And the difference between struggling in the big leagues and struggling in the minor leagues is the speed of the game and the pressure put on you. But you still have to get out of that. You still have to get out of your own funk. You still have to figure out how to scuffle and get by. It's easier to do that in the minor leagues than facing it for the very first time in the major league. So if you brought them up right now, they could play every day. I have no doubt about it. But when they hit that wall and they start to struggle, they don't know how to get out of that funk. And if you have nothing to draw from, that will just bury you. So those are some of the reasons why, as much as I love Tatis and Urias, they need a little bit more seasoning.
They're going to get some. And here's another thing now I'm going to throw at you. They're talking about sending Urias to AAA. They're talking about sending Tatis Jr. to AA. Explain that to me. Why would you not send them to the same team so they can start forming that double play combination together? Bill Center tweeted out this morning, he doesn't think the two of them will play together in the minor leagues. In fact, the next time they may play together is when they both get called back up to the Padres. Seems to me you ought to work on them together right now. Huh?
Why are they tethered at the hip?
Because they're going to be, they're like Trammell and Whitaker to me. I mean, they're just going to be together, I hope, in this Padre infield for 10 years. So let's start them together now.
I love you, Chris. I love you, Chris. I love you like a brother. But no, they're not tethered to each other. They're going to mature at their own pace. So in our mind, we have them as Sweet Lou and Tram. We have them as that great double play combination, and they will be one day. But they're not tethered at the hip where they're going to go through the rungs together. It would be nice if that would happen, and maybe one catches up with the other. But they have to do their own thing individually. God forbid one of them just doesn't get above AAA. I can't have the other one hooked to them because they're trying to get there on their own. Once they get there, then they became teammates. But in our mind, I think we're making too much trying to get them together here at the same time as quick as we can, and they're joined at the hip. They're both individual players. One might become an all-star like Alan Trammell. The other might become very, very good like Lou Whitaker, but they're two individuals that we're trying to connect and bond maybe a little too quick.
Yeah, see, I've already see this is a podcast. So in my mind, I feel I can go in my mind to Cooperstown. I can go over to the infield section where there's like Cal Ripken Jr. and there's now Alan Trammell and there's the great shortstops of all time, and then there's Rogers Hornsby and Joe Morgan and some of the great singers. And I can dust off a little area for Luis Urias and Fernando Tatis Jr., because this is a podcast. See, I can do this. You keep coming on as the voice of reason and wrecking my thinking. That's what I'm having a problem with on this deal. It's fun to think about these two guys being together and joined at the hip and going arm in arm to Cooperstown one day after they've led the Padres to four or five downtown parades. So stop making so much sense, will
you? You mean on our fake radio show that we're doing today, right? We can say whatever we want. I almost wish sometimes I could be more fan-like and want to see that. It's like, you know my one curse? Here's the one curse, the one thing I wish I did not know about this game is umpiring. So you hate umpires, don't you?
No, I'm a referee in basketball, high school basketball referee. So I have a little kinship to guys who call games. I do have a little kinship there.
Okay, I forgot about that. But every player hates umpires. Fans hate umpires. Nobody likes the umpires. I'm the only one who likes the umpires. So I've gone to umpire camp. I know the rules. I understand how they work. I understand how the systems, the balls and strikes and the reviews and all the rest of that. But I think I might be the only one in America. So when I hear somebody say something wrong about the umpires, they get on the umpires. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not actually true because I know this for a fact. And everybody looks at me like, shut up, you idiot. Stop understanding what they do. Can't I just hate them because they called my guy on a third strike with the bases loaded?
Let me boo the guy. You know, if you're that nice to umpires, I'm going to start bringing you to my high school basketball games because I could use all the support I can get up in the stands.
Absolutely. I'd love to. I love to heckle. I love to go to the game and heckle. I do. But I can't really do it.
Because you know too much. You know what they're thinking. I can't either. When I hear announcers complaining about calls in basketball and coaches blaming games on basketball referees, now that I am a referee, it's just I totally see it from a whole nother world.
I tried to do it. I went to a Florida State League game, and I thought, okay, nobody's going to know me here. So I went to go see the Bradenton Pirates take on, I think, the Daytona Tortugas, right? Like five people in the stands. So I'm like, this is going to be fun. I'm going to sit behind. I'm going to heckle. First thing comes out of my mouth, two people walk up. Hey, Rich Herrera. I'm like, oh, man, I can't even heckle in the minor leagues anymore.
The only time I've ever talked to a Major League Baseball umpire during a game Classic in Milwaukee and on a business trip. And so there's a game that night at Old County Stadium. Well, we all want to go to the game just because we've never been to a game in Milwaukee. That's all we care about. So we get tickets, we go, we show up. 2 hour rain delay, thunderstorm, lightning, the whole thing. We wait it out because we really want to see a game in Milwaukee. Well, they play the game, but before the game, a thunderbolt of lightning hit the scoreboard in right field and knocked the scoreboard out. So there was no scoreboard for a Major League Baseball game. But another thing happened. So many people went home that me and my buddies got to sit in the first row behind home plate because there was only about 90 people in the stands for this game. So the entire game, after almost every pitch, we would yell out to the home umpire, "Hey, ump, what's the count?" And he had to keep turning around going, "Shut up, it's 2-1, because there was no scoreboard. So we were able to heckle the guy that way. I always remember that.
Oh, that's awesome. It's fun. As long as it's not mean-spirited and you don't cuss around little kids, right. that's fun to do sometimes.
That was fun. All right. Urias and Tatis Jr., we wish you guys nothing but just incredible success. Thanks for the fun this spring, and we'll see you soon.
Wait, you're acting like they're cast into the hinterlands. You'll see them. They'll come up. They'll play in more big league games this year just because they're optioned down to minor league camp. They'll come up. They'll get some opportunities as well, and then we will see them before you know it.
All right, let's talk about somebody that we're really going to see a lot, it appears, and that's Jose Perella. I mean, the more this guy's name comes up, the more spring training goes along, the more Andy Green is running out of superlatives for him. He's leading the Padres in batting average. He's leading in on base. He's leading in slugging. Last year when he came up midseason, from that point on, he led in batting average. He led in on base. He led in slugging. He's just been a revelation now. He's 28 years old. And, you know, the job in left field was wide open. Big deal, big battle going on. It's starting to look like Jose Perella is going to win that job. Or at least he's got a big lead right now.
Okay, so if I'm Hunter Renfro, I'm concerned. If I'm Carlos Asuahi, I'm concerned because those are the two places where his at-bats will come from, in right field and second base. The other part of this is, okay, so maybe he comes in and he's tearing the cover off the ball the first week. Okay, pitchers are working on stuff, and it's a lot of young pitchers, and guys are just getting their arm loose. Now that we're getting to the point now, hitters are always ahead of pitchers when you first get to spring training. Now pitchers have caught up because they've had a couple starts. They've got some more innings under their belt, and they're starting to get stretched out, and they're starting to work on more things. Don't confuse the two, spring training ball versus the regular season. The ball doesn't break as much in Arizona. It's a lot flatter. It's thinner air. But you look at what he's doing right now, and he's not letting up. And as the pitchers are catching up, he's still staying ahead of them. So we will see for the next 2 weeks if he continues to do that. He's going to get a chance to win an outright job to play for the San Diego Padres and get a lot of playing time. The pitcher's arms, they'll go through the dead end period about the end of spring training. If you see him hit all the way to the dead end period, look out, because he's going to be a force to reckon with, and Andy Green's going to have to figure out where they're going to use him to protect Hosmer and Will Myers, and it might come at the expense of Hunter Renfro, who really needs to pick it up right now.
All right, here's what I think is going to happen, Rich. I'm trying to read between the lines. I'm thinking that Perella's going to win this thing as an everyday player, but I think there's a chance he may be an everyday player at two positions. And I know you're going to probably throw water on this theory because you know why? You've thrown water on all my theories. But I'm going to try it anyway. I think against right-handed pitching, Perella's in left field, Asuahi's at second base. I think against left-handed pitching, then Perella moves to second base and Renfro starts in left field because they want his bat against lefty pitching. And I'm not saying it's going to be like this for 162 games, but I think there's a chance it starts this way. I think that's how much Andy Green loves Perella right now.
Are you mad?
I knew it. See, it doesn't matter if I come up with... I'm going to come up with an idea where you get $1 million, and you're still going to say, am I mad?
I want those in sequential numbers, not random. No, that's a great idea. I see that coming right now. And then I also throw the caveat on there to make it very realistic. Then you probably have Carlos Asuahi coming in, or you say Spangenberg is going to make the roster?
No, I said Spangenberg is not going to make the roster. That is our little lunch wager that we're waiting on to. We're still waiting on a result. By the way, I'm going to Peoria in a couple of days. I'm going to start working on Andy Green about this, but so, just so you know.
So I think that you'll see that, and then a late inning replacement defensively with the lead of Asuaje or my guy Spangenberg coming in to take some innings late in the ballgame.
Could be that way. All right. You know what? One thing I wanted, here's a funny note about Jose. I thought I'd look up Jose Perella for us a little bit because I don't know if everybody knows a lot about, I don't know a lot about him. But I mean, he became a revelation midway last year. He's 28 years old. He's a Venezuelan. He was originally in the Yankee system, but here's my dagger for you, Rich. He was traded to the San Diego Padres by the New York Yankees organization for Ronald Herrera. Is that your uncle? What did they send your uncle? Ronald Herrera is the name of the guy that the Padres had to part with to get Jose Perella. I'm glad they didn't part with Rich Herrera, but Ronald Herrera, he was let go. But you didn't know that.
No, I did not know that. Billy Bean once tried to trade me for a bag of peanuts, and Andrew Friedman said that he would have two hot dog vendors to be named later. Listen, if they trade me, if they can go get a bat like Jose Perella, I would gladly go in that trade.
Well, you're not going anywhere. We're keeping you around. That's going to wrap up our Padre Radio podcast for this day, but we have so much more to come. And I'm going to miss Tatis Jr. I'm going to miss Urias. I'm going to miss them. I know they're coming back, but I'm going to miss them while they're gone.
I'm going to get you a helmet Sunday on opening day just to make you feel better.
Ooh. I'll feel better. How about two, one for each guy?
One for each guy. Absolutely. I'll get that for you. I'll get those for you.
All right. Good luck to those two young men. We can't wait to have you back. We can't wait to have you back for another Padre Radio podcast as well.
This is the Padres Radio Network. Like and follow us on Facebook.com/Padres Radio. Sign up for our newsletter on PadresRadio.com.